welcome you into this house today. You are so holy. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. That we look to you, Lord. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me vision. You know just what to do. Know what to do, Lord, in our lives, that you give us strength.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Praise you, Father. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. And I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my forever, all my days, I will love you, God. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, he preached and he ministered on an adult level. And Johnny, we called him Skeeter, but his name is Johnny Reed. And he broke it down. I guess it was at the right time. I was like in the 7th or 8th grade. I was 10 years old. So when he did this, when he told me how what Jesus came to do, I listened because I looked up to him. And he understood, you know, he was a little older. But when you don't, you know, when you're a child, you don't have a real reference for sin. So my parents, I knew Jesus was important, but I didn't know what sin was. I didn't know that, you know, I thought sin was just people doing bad. It was a lot I didn't know about it until later. And I wanted to go to heaven like Daddy preached. You know, I went. And I used to ride mini bikes, and I would look at the ground. I said, if something happened, I want to know how to go to heaven. So he was telling me how to go to heaven, and I listened to him. Yeah. And he told me about Jesus, and I wanted to know what to do to go, but I didn't get saved. I was almost 20 when I got saved. I was 19, almost 20 when I got saved. And but anyway, he planted that seed. You know, he was a blessing. And he teaches, his talking style is a lot like Ray's. The way he, I hope he visit one day. But he you know, Ray will look at something and see things that you just look over. Well, he does the same thing. But I thank God. God got he got so many different types of people. And when the love of God, you know, our creative abilities rise up in the love of God. When people get saved, they start having abilities that were always there. Creative abilities. God put that in us. And it's drawn out by the love of God. So I love to see people follow God. The Lord knows how to bring it to the surface.
You know, there's another side to the love of God. I was thinking when he was talking a while ago. Mm-hmm. The focus, as far as people, of course, it's always the good or the correct. And,
yeah.
But there's a part of God's love that has wrath in it for the unbeliever and for the tribulation and for things like that. A big part of God's love in that area.
Yeah.
But we don't have to consider it because we're his children.
Mm-hmm.
That's love, too.
It is. Even the judgments of the tribulation is designed to drive people into the kingdom of God.
God is love.
Mm-hmm. And
like I said, that's not for his people.
Yeah.
His children. Uh-huh.
Everything is systematically showing people that I am. Follow me.
People say, well, like sin, God don't love sin.
Mm-mm. He hates it.
He hates it, but that's part of his love involved in it. So.
Mm-hmm. And the first thing he did, he saw the light was good, and he divided the light from the darkness. And he's trying to get us divided to do the same thing.
Yes.
We have to choose the light. Everybody has to choose the light. Mm-hmm. And when we do, then we're choosing him. We have to choose to walk in his way, learn of him. Jesus said, learn of me. Putting new wine in old wineskins. That's trying to take a new life and put it in, mix it in with the old ways. You get new wine, get a new wineskin. It'll protect each other. It works. But the old wineskin will burst. It won't. You'll waste everything. The new life, he gave us a new heart, and we'll put a new life in that heart. We'll put his word in there. And everything that's not of God, we drive it out. And he gave us that example with the Canaanites. I used to wonder, why didn't God just drive out the Canaanites? But that was their responsibility. Mm-hmm. They were going to gain the land. They had to drive them out. He gave us a new heart. We got to protect it.
Yes.
Solomon said, guard your heart. Out of it is the issues of life.
He's talking about pillars. Yeah. You know, as long as Joshua's alive, and as long as the people that were under Joshua, the leaders of the tribes, they didn't go into all that adultery and all that idolatry and all that mess. They did.
They stayed true.
But because the people, evidently, they didn't replace them with people. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important for generation to generation to replace those people and add to it.
Yeah.
Because that's what got them all in all that sin, was because they didn't have those leaders in place.
Yeah.
So it's very important for us to vote and everything.
Everything. And be involved and do what must be done. And sometimes you just have to rise up and do it. When he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and have dominion. A lot of times people stop at the first two. But when you replenish, he said that about millionaires a lot of times. They're industrious, they're fruitful, they become, and they multiply, and then they keep. Well, when you replenish, you use the same principles that got you wealthy to help other people become wealthy. It's not like you just give away money haphazardly.
you contribute in the wisdom of God. Amen. And you continue the process.
In other words, everything that comes in your mailbox, you don't have to give to.
No. Not even, man. You have to be selective. Use the discretion of God. And then, if you want to get the most, you can pray and ask Him the best choice. You know, God knows who's following Him and who's not. Some people are not following God. And we may think they are. But God, you know, I let God regulate things like that. I pray and I ask. And everything we do is, you know, when we're ministering, we're replenishing. We're giving. And then He said, subdue it. Don't let the enemy come and disrupt it. Don't let the enemy come and tear down what you're doing. And then He said, have dominion. You have to, we know we're going to die, so you have to find replacements. And get God, get them to continue the work. So that's how God does everything. And he made everything to operate like a well-oiled machine. And yesterday I did a broadcast last Thursday and Friday, and I kind of went back to how some I considered how some of the things in the Holiness Church, how things that we did it interrupted the plan of God. And they put restrictions, they had ordinances and rules and regulations that God didn't give, such as the women couldn't wear pants, for instance, and or jewelry or makeup and things like that. And they had to have the head covered. We had all those rules, and it interrupted what God was doing. Colossians chapter 2 shows the problem of it. I'm going to start at verse 8. In your study time, this is a good chapter to deal with legalism. Because the first part talks about how, walking in the Spirit. In verse 1 it says, I wish that ye would, that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. So Colossae and Laodicea had the same problem. And he said that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So when we draw near to Him, there's great treasures and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Now, He had a word of knowledge. He saw what they were doing far away. And we can do the same thing. He literally saw them in the spirit. He said, as I have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now watch verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So the regulations and the rules and the extra ordinances that people try to put on you, it takes away from what God is doing. Verse 9 says, for in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Being complete in the Lord, that's a blessing. That means you don't need anybody. It's a blessing. The people in our lives are a blessing, but we don't need them to be complete. We're complete in Him. When I almost got in a fight that day, I was at the end of my strength, and the Lord
he said, he spoke a word and it charged my heart. This is how I learned things. I went back and kept thinking about what happened. I knew I didn't have the strength. And then all of a sudden I did. Because the Lord said, everlasting love, to love a man whether he does you good or whether he does you evil. And by that word, I was supplied with the strength so that I could love my brother and not fight. And all the anger was gone. I didn't want to fight him, but I was so angry. And when you get like that and you don't have the strength, then you're reacting. And it takes strength to love. So if we're complete in him, we can be fully supplied by him to love people that are contrary and to love people that are a blessing, to love everybody, to shower people with God's love. We can be fully supplied because we're complete in him. When people are spent, when they're at their lowest point, they can't give you anything. They can't be the blessing you need them to be. They can't. There's a lot of things that they, you know, even Christians that get too weak, they can't pay tithes. They get so low, they need you. All right? So when people are at that point, they need you, and you can be fully supplied by him. This is a revelation that we can all walk in, and ye are complete in him. We can be supplied to supply. And then I learned the joy of it. There's a great joy in doing that. You don't learn this in the world, but this comes from the heart. This comes from community. And it works in everything. What's happening is you're filling yourself with the joy of the Lord and his word. And so when you see Goliath, you don't see a giant. When people have problems, you don't see them, you see their need. You see, you're receiving strength, and you're loving them with the strength that God has supplied you with. This is what happens when we look to the Lord. And he said, you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So he's he can do something. He has the strength to supply you with so that you can drive out the principalities and power. He said, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Our faith in Christ is how we access salvation. Our salvation is the circumcision of the heart. We don't need to be circumcised to be righteous, is what he's saying. But the Jews, they were trying to impose the traditions on them so that they could be righteous. And in their eyes, they weren't righteous because they weren't circumcised, or because they didn't keep the law, the Sabbath day, or they ate wrong. They didn't eat according to Moses' law, which when Christ came, we have the fullness of God. And we're complete in him. We don't need props anymore. We don't need the signs that point to Christ. We got him. And then Gentiles are being saved. And they don't need all that either. We got Christ. We don't need the ceremonial things anymore. Circumcision don't make a man righteous. Not even pork won't make a man righteous. But it's a sacrifice in the eyes of men, and they're doing a duty, and they want to be rewarded for it, and that's the illusion. But the only reason we're righteous is because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and we believed it, and we received it. We put blood on our doorposts and lintels. That's why we're righteous. And so because of that, this is what he was sharing. When people do these things, they distract people. All right, they got saved, and now you got, you know, the women can't wear pants. The men can't wear dresses, which we don't anyway. But not wearing pants and dresses, don't make us righteous. Whatever we do that's right, we do it because we're righteous, yeah. Not to be righteous. But if those things make us righteous, and the focus is on that, then what about the blood of Jesus?
And so when we go out in public and we put impose these rules on people, that don't make us, they don't know what, you know, that's confusing. He said, we're complete in him, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. He said, buried with him in baptism, we're dead to the world, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead to your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and that was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So all those ceremonial things that that people had to do, even keeping the Sabbath day. Mm-hmm. And it's still a good idea to rest on the seventh day. It's just, that's wisdom, man. But that won't make you righteous. Only the blood of Jesus makes us righteous. He said, and having spoiled principalities and powers, which was behind all the madness, he has made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. We're right with God because of Christ. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day, of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Then he said, let no man beguile you. This is how I got out of the legalism. One day I read this and came out of it. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And my ex-wife, she didn't think it was necessary to just wear dresses all the time. She said, and we argued about it. And one day I said, Lord, I don't want to argue about something like that. I asked him, why did you put Deuteronomy 22:5 in the Bible? And that day he answered me. He said it was for the homosexuals. They wanted to attract the same sex by dressing like the opposite sex. He in the law, he couldn't just say don't do something. He had to go to the extreme and spell it out. You know, it's kind of like the kid with the cookies. The kid know that there are some cookies in that jar. You can't say don't eat cookies. You have to say don't touch the lid on the jar. Don't touch it. Don't smell it. Don't even go over there by it. Because when you say don't eat the cookie, he'll go and he'll say, well, I just wanted to smell it. And after a while, he just wanted to lick it. And then eventually he biting it. And you walk in the room, he's chewing. Well, it's the same principle. But now, so I pray. I said, I don't want to argue about that. And when he showed me that, I understood it. And when I came home, Debbie was happy. She said, well, I said, what's going on? And she read chapter 2. And she was completely free from that. Because this is what broke it. She said, let no man beguile you of your reward on a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together, increasing with the increase of God. He said, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Now, verse 20 and 22 is a question, and then there's a statement, a very important statement interjected in parentheses in 21. I'm going to read it again. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? And I'm going to skip 22 because it's an ongoing question. Which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men.
I read that wrong. Let me do it again. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances after the commandments and doctrines of men? Now, that's the question. But he shows us something in that question. He put us a statement. He said, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? And then he said, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using. And it's because these props and crutches are making us righteous instead of the blood of Christ. And then he continued with the question, after the commandments and doctrines of men. And then he said, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not to any honor, but it's to the satisfying of the flesh. And that's why it's so dangerous to blend grace and the law. Because I'm made righteous, it's easy. Just walk in love and you fulfill all the law. Whatever you do out of love, it can't be wrong. It's not going to be, you know, it's not, things don't make you righteous. The blood of Jesus did. And it's not going to be wrong. It's going to be good. Now, then I thought about something else. Winning souls. If we look to the Lord and receive his strength and yield to him, as long as we're doing that, we'll fulfill the love it takes to be labels. And we'll have the guidance of his wisdom. And it's much easier to do it that way than to do it our way. Because as long as we focus on him, we can walk on water. If you're looking at Jesus, you can walk on water. It's impossible to walk on water, and it's impossible to get people out of this world sometime with your own mind. But you're using his mind. In ministry, if you look at the person, that the problem of getting them saved may be bigger than God to you. But if you look into the Lord, winning them will be... When you look to the Lord, you gain vision that you can't get any other way. And all the problems are small, and winning souls is easy. God will give you a living plan to win the lost.
Psalm says, God, I'll look to you,
God,
we
have
one another.
Amen. Just
these things like you do.
Yeah.
Say it.
And that's what I had to learn. And sometimes ministers look at the people and they get overwhelmed.
Yes.
And they're not looking to God. They're trying. They love God. They love the people. But they're looking at the people, and the people are contrary.
People will even go and want to see.
Yeah, they do everything, and it's a big problem.
And one day they're so good and kind and loving to you, and the next day they're stabbing you in the back.
Yeah, and gone. They leave and go somewhere else without warning. Pastors go through a lot of things, you know.
Yeah.
But when you look to the Lord, all those insurmountable problems are reduced. Goliath is no threat. And then only through following God can we minister life like that on that level. With him, it's very easy. He said, learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light.
And you've been talking, there are a lot of scriptures, the word humility's come up a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that worship is one of the key ways of keeping you humble.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the last reference of humility was a false humility. When the Lord taught me about humility, he said, you got to focus it on the right person. If you can be humble to a drill sergeant and do everything he say, you follow orders, that's good. You can be humble to your spouse. You can be humble to your children. You can be humble to your boss. But in the ministry, you got to remain humble to God. Because if you're humble to God, you're going to definitely obey him. And then with the insight of looking to him, it causes you to see everything where it is as it is.
So humility is a key to obedience.
Yeah.
Never thought of that. And
yep.
An open door.
And an open, yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, that's a blessing.
Well, that is a blessing.
And a revelation. when you're looking at him, you see things as they are, where they are, and what they can be. You see people's potential, even in their worst state. Only God can unlock that to you. And then he'll cause you to say the right thing at the right time and win them. And they'll be your best brother. I've seen that happen. I've seen God move like that. I didn't know it was going to happen. But following God, everybody needs to experience that kind of blessing. And everybody can. We're washed in the blood. As he is, so are we in this world. Everybody. See, God, he likes to take one thing, and a small thing, and do great things with it. All right, everybody we all share the ministry of reconciliation. What an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, or a pastor, or a teacher preach. They're preaching to people. The people are receiving the word, and they carry the very same message where they go. That message is dispersed through people. They may not be called to be an apostle, a prophet, or evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher, but they're carrying the very same message. So they'll get the very same reward. And they'll do the very same thing. That's how it works. So, you know, it's not about the calling. That's just mean that person has to do the duties of that calling.